John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Hear now the word of God. John 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now notice from here through the ninth verse how often the word light is used. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Let us pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, right here in John 1. And we pray we'd better understand that revelation today, and that we would, even more importantly, live according to that revelation of your Son. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you. What is the best-selling Christmas song of all time? Now, think about the answer to that in your mind. It's not "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas." It's not "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer." It's not "Jingle Bells." It's not even "I'll Be Home for Christmas" or "Silver Bells." The best-selling song of all time, and by the way, not just Christmas song, but the best-selling song of all time is a song written by Irving Berlin and sung best by Bing Crosby. The song is "White Christmas." I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Now, we may or may not, we may have a cold Christmas. I don't know if we'll have a white Christmas or not. But there is that dream of a white Christmas, but then there's the reality of something that's not a dream. Something that can be played out on the stages of our families, our friendships, our relationships, our culture. It's something that is a reality, not just now, but also a guaranteed reality in the future. And what I'm talking about is every Christian in this room today can be dreaming of a light Christmas. L-I-G-H-T. You know, in Genesis 1:3, God says, "Let there be light." The Bible begins with light, and then it goes all the way through Revelation 22, where there's no need for artificial or even created light because the light of the Lord is illuminating everything. And in between Genesis and Revelation, there are no less than 250 references to light. And those references link the Lord to light. Now, 2 weeks from today, and Christmas is on Sunday, and how great is that? 2 weeks from today, we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the incarnation? It is that point in time and space in history when Jesus added to his divine nature a human nature and came to this planet. And the message from John 1 to us is simply this: because Jesus has come into this world, the light has dawned. The light has dawned. It's not just any light, but it's a light designed to change our lives. Now, what does this text reveal about the light? There are two affirmations, and the first affirmation is this: we affirm from the text this morning that Jesus is essential to life. Essential. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, you know light is essential to life. You take a plant that's in front of a window, you move it to the back of your closet, and the light and the plant is going to shrivel up and die. There's no photosynthesis happening. Where there's no sun, no light, there is no life. Now, the Bible says, physically speaking, it was through the agency of Jesus Christ that God the Father created all things, visible and invisible. You know, God said, "Let there be light." And then through the agency of Jesus Christ, there was light. And there's even more, because in Proverbs 8, we are told that Jesus is the artisan. Interesting word, the artisan by the Father's side, who from the beginning of creation creatively, artistically arranges light so that what we see around us in this world is beautiful. Listen, next time, and I hope you're slowing down and doing this, because if you're just driving and rushing to the next appointment, you're going too fast. But next time your breath is taken away, when you see that big orange-colored moon just sort of hanging in the night sky, or you look into the cold winter night and you see a night full of stars and meteors and planets, and have you noticed lately, if you've been looking at all, you look off to the west because it's getting darker earlier now, the sunsets are gorgeous. They are so pretty. You see those sunsets and you're sort of just, you just stare in silence. It's amazing. I don't see many sunrises, but I know about sunsets. Now, remember, when you see that sunset, those beautiful sunsets, that Jesus is the master artist who creates and then arranges the lights in the sky, the way a master artist arranges colors on a canvas, not just to arrest your attention, but to move you in the deepest part of your emotions. Listen, think about it this way. Without Jesus, there'd be nothing in the sky to begin with. And then there'd be no artistry of light surrounding us. See, light and life are Siamese twins. They are joined together at the heart. Jesus is the source, as we sang this morning, and Hark the Herald Angel sings, light and life to all he brings. Isn't that interesting? To all he brings. Even those who deny Christ enjoy the same spectacular sky shows that we do. And you know why? It is the common mercy and grace of God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says he causes his Son to rise on both the righteous and the wicked. I don't understand it. I have no idea how anyone can look into the sky and not see the artistic handiwork of the Lord. I mean, the Lord leaves his calling cards in the skies all over the world, and that's one of the reasons why people would be held accountable for one day for being too spiritually blind to see that Jesus is the light who gives physical life to everything that lives on this earth. But notice also that Jesus is the light who gives not just physical, but spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so that we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And now we have this light," that same light that causes plants to grow, "that same light shining in our hearts." Let me give you a suggestion. I hope you'll take me up on this. Try this every morning this week. Every morning, do this. Before your feet hit the floor, while you're, you know, regaining consciousness in your bed, say to yourself, either aloud or in your mind, say four things. Preach this to yourself. Before you even get up, say, "I'm physically alive because Jesus gives me life." Physically. "I'm emotionally alive because Jesus has thawed out my heart. Otherwise, I'd just have a stone-cold heart." I'm emotionally alive. I'm physically alive. "I'm spiritually alive because of the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Emotionally, spiritually, physically alive. And then remind yourself of this. Before I, you know, button up to my identity as I go out as a teacher, a housewife, whatever, my identity is already settled. See, my identity is settled forever. I'm a child of the Heavenly Father. My identity, emotionally, physically, spiritually, this all comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, this week, instead of first and foremost grabbing your smartphone to check your texts and emails and Twitters and Facebook, why don't you preach these truths to yourself? I honestly believe if you'll begin your day with these four reminders, if you'll begin it that way, it will not only transform your day, it will transform your week. It could even transform the way you approach your life. Please do that, because Jesus is the light. Notice in the second place, not only is light essential, necessary, basic to life, but notice the second affirmation is this. We affirm that Jesus illuminates our lives. Jesus illuminates our lives. He is essential, but he also illuminates. He illuminates the darkness. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have ever experienced, and I'm talking about total darkness, total. I have twice in my life. Once we went to Ruby Falls, and as you go down to the very bottom of Ruby Falls, at the end of it, they turn off all the lights. And it is total darkness. I mean, you can see nothing. Other time happened in 1980. I was interning in a church in Montgomery, Alabama. And the bottom floor of the church was below ground. And so there's no light coming in from the outside. And it was fairly late at night. The sun had gone down, already gotten dark. And I was at the office working on the sermon, and I was looking through a file. I was on my knees, and I guess the maintenance guy walked in. He didn't see anybody in my office. He turned off the light. Then he turned off the light in the hall. It took me 20 minutes to get out of my office because in total darkness, I was as disoriented as you can possibly be. And my brief exile in the total darkness taught me just how bad off we are if we walk around in total darkness. Look at verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Have you ever thought about this? Any illumination you have physically, spiritually, mentally, any illumination in history, science, medicine, music, physics, engineering, education, law, politics, it's because light enables people to function. Literally, you know, as I found out that day, in total darkness, you can't do anything. We need light. And the illumination we get comes from the Lord. Whether it be sun, artificial light, light from fire, ultimately, you can trace it back to the Lord. Physically, we grope around in darkness, apart from this gift of light that we have, even here this morning. But isn't it a tragedy when people who are warmed by the light, illuminated by light, fail to acknowledge the Lord as the ultimate source of light? It is a tragedy. You know, Jesus communicates the parable of himself as light to the entire world. Jesus is the light that shines into the darkness. But yet, look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. We see that. But the darkness, that word there can mean overcome, but it can also mean cannot comprehend. Sure, the darkness can't overcome the light, but it can't figure it out either. See, people walking around in spiritual darkness cannot wrap their minds around the idea of Jesus being the light because they can't see anything. They're in the dark. I want to encourage you this morning to pray for people, especially this time of year, whose hearts are filled with darkness. You know, apart from God's grace, people who do not embrace Jesus will live in darkness. And you know what's worse? The future doesn't look good. You reject Jesus, you die, and you live forever in outer darkness. I remember several years ago, there's a television series, and it was not a Christian show at all. It's a show that actually trumpeted itself as being very dark spiritually and morally. But in this series, a young lady is resuscitated from the dead. And listen to the way she describes, this is an unbeliever. Listen to how she describes her brief experience of death. She says, and I quote, "Deep darkness, scary darkness." And then through tears, "I don't want to go back there." See, apart from Christ, that's where people will go. total darkness, outer darkness, painful darkness, forever. Friends, we need to let people know as a witness to them, the only reason there's light is Jesus. And unless you embrace this light, who is Jesus, the light of the world, you're going to live your life forever in darkness. I love the hymn by Philip Bliss. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. We see here how essential Jesus is to physical and spiritual life. We also see how Christ alone can illuminate us physically as He does every day and spiritually as He does when we receive Him as Savior and Lord. Now, I want to ask you something. So what? The fact that Jesus is the light, what difference should it make in your life this week? I'm going to give you two differences, two ways your life should change because Jesus is the light. First is this: when the light comes in your life, the darkness must go. Every life touched by Jesus, the light of the world, every life touched by Jesus is changed. It's very simple. Light and darkness cannot coexist. So we shine the light of Jesus in what we do, what we love, how we spend our money, how we relate as a family, how we talk to other people, our attitudes. And when we shine that light, you see, light always chases away darkness. They can't exist in the same room. We walk in the light, which means this: by God's grace and the power the Holy Spirit provides, we must make some life adjustments. Now, here's the bad news. All of us have areas of darkness in our lives. Areas we just as soon others not know of. Areas we keep to ourselves, sometimes in the deep recesses of our minds. We have these areas of darkness. But here's the good news. In your life, darkness does not have to have the final say-so. When you embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're turning on the light. Every time this week when you say no to temptation, you're flipping on the light. Every time you say yes to obeying the Lord, you're turning on the light in one dark room after another in your life. And you know, every time you treasure Jesus more than you treasure anything else, and by the way, whatever is not Jesus is an idol. Whenever you treasure Jesus more than anything else, you're turning on the light. And the more you turn on the light, the more the darkness in your life will be dissipated, dispelled, run away by the light of the world, Jesus. So when the light comes, the darkness must go. Second difference in your life and mine is this: when the light comes, Jesus will illuminate your path. Now, if you've ever hiked through the woods at nighttime, you know how scary it can be. You hear all these strange sounds and see these sights and shadows, and you imagine all kind of scary scenarios you'd just not rather be a part of. But you know, there's two things about walking through the woods at night. One thing, you better be on the right path. Otherwise, you're not going to get home. But also, if you're going to walk on the path, you need a flashlight. I have one of these tactical flashlights I bought online. You can shine it, it'll light up this whole room. It is something else. I got that and I was thinking, this is going to be so useful because otherwise I'm going to stumble, I'm going to fall, I'm going to step on something, I'm going to step into a hole. Something's going to happen. Friends, think of Jesus this way. He is the one who illumines your path as you walk through life's deep, dark woods. And how does He do that? Well, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. See, Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. That means this: Whenever you open your Bible, you're shining the light on your path. Psalm 119, 105 puts it this way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. See, we have the words of the Lord right here to light our path, to lead us through this dark world, to lead us safely home. And when you shine the word of God on your pathway, it's illuminated. Friends, you may be stumbling right now in some area of your life. Could it be that that area of your life where you're stumbling today is an area where you are not letting the Word of God, Jesus' Word, illuminate the path you're taking? So open your Bible. Apply what you read. The guarantee is this: Jesus will illumine your path. This year, a number of places in our country, people may have a white Christmas or may not. It's not our choice, but we do have a choice this morning. That is, we can choose to have a light Christmas, L-I-G-H-T. We can affirm with our lips and our lives, Jesus is the light. We can let God's Word illumine the path we take. Friends, we can go from a mere affirmation of faith to a lifestyle of, well, actually witnessing to others. You know what? Jesus really is my light. Is he yours? Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, I pray that we would embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he would light up our hearts and our lives. But even beyond that, Lord, I pray that as we open your word, that we would walk in the light that your word provides, because that light is ultimately from your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to embrace the light. Help us to walk in the light. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.